This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio hideout designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Supreme Court goes virtual. Jobless are getting hammered by identity theft. Hashtags are throwing people in the news into a feeding frenzy. And the Raspberry Pi is going to be used to power ventilators. I want to welcome you to episode 1438 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 13th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, we are live again at live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. Just about every place you would be. Facebook is probably the best place. If you're watching tonight on YouTube, you can come over to my Facebook page and follow me there. Say hello. And of course, I want to welcome a brand new listener to the show. Thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. Take time, if you would, to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, you can subscribe to the podcast either via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, subscribe on Android, Stitcher by email, or even just the standard RSS feed are all there. If you have no idea what I'm talking about on how to subscribe to the show, just click on the more subscribe options. We got instructions there on how to do that. But really, if you have a mobile device, just head over to geeknewscentral.com and click one of those top two buttons, and that'll get you connected with the show. Now, when you're on the website, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. That's a great way to stay abreast of what's happening on the show. You'll get an email immediately following the show, basically with all the show notes and everything that's going on here. Geek error by leaving a screen up on the other screen. Dramatic pause, right? Hey, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the magic word to launch that smart home device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. And really, that's just a Mastodon chat server. You can also join our Discord channel. Our Discord channel is available via the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. Or if you want to be part of our Slack group, you can do that as well. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook. Partner shows over here. Actually, more importantly, to contact me via email, you can do so at geeknews@gmail.com, at geeknews on Twitter, and again, follow me on Facebook. Partner shows include, and they're all linked to geeknewscentral.com, is GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss. But by the way, Kirk, happy anniversary. This is Kirk's third year anniversary being the executive producer here at Geek News Central. Tonight's show, all the articles that was found was strictly by Kirk. He's doing a bang-up job and taking care of the pre-show prep and then doing some stuff post-show as well. So again, three-year anniversary to Kirk and doing a great job. So round of applause to him. And of course, check his own show out. Again, GNC Week in Review. The Gadget Professors out there with Mr. Don Bain. The Pro Gear site written by my team. And of course, the new media show with my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenley, and the now defunct Pod Faded Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana Gear. Ohana Gear. Yes, Ohana means family in Hawaiian. Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Now, don't forget, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. You can pick up great deals. Really, this is the place to go to save money. Now's the time to save money, especially if you want to get creative. Got some time left before we go back to work? Stuck in the house? Bored? Maybe you are not working right now. I know money's tight, but just for a dollar a month for the first year, we can get you an economy hosting site or managed WordPress site. Includes a free domain. So $1 a month gets you up and running. And I think this is a worthy investment. Start a podcast, start a blog, do a new project, new business. All the tools you really need to get started are either in one of those two platforms, all right? And just kind of shop around, see which one maybe will work best for you. The dollar a month economy hosting, if you want to set up a shopping cart and do products, that's probably the best way. Again, if you just want to do WordPress stuff or you're going to do blogging and maybe do something to do, put family pictures up or you name it, the Manage WordPress hosting is the way to go. Now, you can get a $499.com if you don't pick up a hosting account on new or transferred for new customers. 30% off product purchases for everyone else with using the promo code CJCGeek30. And for you business folks out there, a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 30-day, one-month free trial. All these codes, again, can be found at my website, geekcentral.com/GoDaddy. And you can save large. You can save up to 87% on products and services using some of my standard promo codes. Obviously, 30% off on other products and services that I don't highlight specifically. And when you use one of our codes, you directly support this site. Our writers and producers keeps my lights on, keeps the rent paid, keeps the insurance up to date. We definitely appreciate when you use my GoDaddy promo code. Share those with your friends, family members, people that you know. We definitely appreciate it when you do. Maintain social distancing, of course, when you're doing that. But anyway, thanks GoDaddy for being sir. Oh, and Nir, got your email. I passed the email off to a very high executive at GoDaddy. You should be getting a response. If you do not, and if you have not heard from them upon you listening to this show, please email me and let me know, and I'll let her know that whether they've contacted you or not. So Niren had a little trouble with customer support over at GoDaddy, and I've told you folks forever and forever, if you use one of my promo codes and you have trouble and you don't get the result you want, I will intercede and go on your behalf to send that up to the, it typically goes to the office of the president, a representative there, and then trickles back down. But this time I went lateral to a gal that I know very well at GoDaddy, and because I don't currently have a contact email in the office of president. It used to be someone that actually was a podcaster. But anyway, so it's going to make the rounds, and it'll get someone's attention. So again, that's the deal here. You use my promo codes, and you're not get happy results. Nir's been a longtime user of the codes here at Geek News Central, longtime listener of the show. Nir's out in Israel, and I hope you're doing well out there. Thanks so much for your continued support of the show and the support of my promo codes as well. Okay, so Dan, Toby, James, thanks for checking in. If any of you are watching on Facebook and you haven't checked in yet, please do so. Make sure you say hello. We want to hear from you. All right, so let me just kind of chit-chat a little bit. I noticed on, what day was it? I think Sunday or maybe Saturday. I wrote a post on Facebook that basically said, to the certain extent, I think it is a little bit, okay, so let me back up. Home Depot. For those of you in the United States, you all know what Home Depot is. Home Depot has set up, like many stores have, Walmart and other places, where they only allow so many people in the store. You have to social distance, standing outside to wait and get in the store. And basically, you can go in and buy just about anything. You can go buy refrigerators. You can go buy cabinets. You can buy carpet. You can buy tools. You can buy lumber. You can buy about 90, well, up until this past weekend, you could buy 100% of what was in that store. And the governor in the state of Michigan basically put out a ruling that said that the home and garden section, anything home and garden related, is not considered essential and shall be blocked and not sold. And she extended that to greenhouses and other places that this time of year, and please understand my perspective, in Michigan, it's time to plant gardens. It's time to put seeds in the ground. It's just about past. And because Michigan is, not necessarily a Southern California or the San Joaquin Valley where you have 110 degrees and you basically have a good growing season. The growing season in this state is relatively short, and most people that plant gardens do so by going starter plants. They buy starter strawberries, you name it. They buy a bunch of starter plants, And typically that's what most people here do, is that's how they plant their garden. A lot of people, my family included, cans an incredible amount of vegetables. Tomatoes is one of the biggest ones. We obviously pick strawberries, and I don't think she cans strawberries, but there's a number of things, beans. And if they don't meet their planting schedule, they will not get these vegetables out the back end. Now, Home Depot doesn't necessarily sell a lot of vegetable starter plants. Those comes from nurseries. And but at the same point, you've got people in this rural community, and they're all locked up in their houses. And part of this ban, they can't buy paint. They can't buy a whole bunch of stuff now that is deemed non-essential. So I'm thinking, okay, the store's already doing social distancing. They are already being, they're watching people in the store. When I went in to buy, what did I have to buy? I had to buy some hardware because I had something on a gate that needed adjusted. Essential, right? And I waited in on the end of an aisle until people left the aisle. I went down, didn't go any crowd in an aisle, so we were crossing paths with a shopping cart. And that's what everyone was doing. And yet, we cannot sell paint. We cannot sell all this other stuff now because it's not essential. Why is a little bit of common sense not being able to prevail here at this time? Why would, and I know that people that, you know, people that don't garden don't understand this. If you buy your vegetables from the grocery store, that's great. But some people don't. It's almost, I wouldn't call it a religion, but people are pretty serious about the garden. Sweet corn, you know, it just goes on and on and on, right? Now, sweet corn, you got to plant with a seed. There's no starter sweet corn per se. Typically that doesn't go in until about May 15th anyway. So it's a little early, or April 15th or so. It's a little, maybe a little early for sweet corn. But why this obsession of telling us what we can't do when it seems reasonable, common sense, right? So people were pissed. I mean, upset. Now, they reacted. There was people who were positive, people who were negative. People were saying, oh, you're not being responsible. We're all social distancing. And at some point, in this community, I think there's 20 cases in like a 30 by 30 mile area. So it's not like there's big community spread here. Everyone's being very careful, watching what they're doing. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Myers, you can go all these stores and buy groceries, which is essential, obviously. But it just seems like it's a little extreme. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to have Home Depots and places that sell these garden supplies and these plants that, you know, I'm not talking about going getting flowers and planting flowers. Okay, we all can live without some flowers. But some of this stuff is essential to people, at least my definition essential. Not some of the people's, but boy, oh boy, I mean, you know, don't go do it. You're going to get someone sick. And, you know, I think everyone's pretty much understanding what's going on here and understand the rules and what we're supposed to watch out for. And, but people are protesting, and hostility on Facebook has jacked way up. People are yelling at each other. It's a little political. It's crazy. And we talked a little bit on the last show, a couple shows ago, about the hydrochloroxine or whatever it's called. And it's, people, take a breath. Take a breath. Now, what's curious is that my sister sells a farm seed. And that would be wheat, soybeans, corn. I don't know what else she sells. She sells basically direct drop to the farmer, semi rolls up. They have a forklift. They unload, you know, 5,000 pounds of seed that's going to go in a planter. And she's trying to do business over the phone. She cannot go. Her company rules have said no farmer visits, nothing like that. So she's scrambling. Or sometimes she's like on the edge of the road while the semi's there, and she's talking with the farmer, making sure that the order was correct. And what she's hearing from certain farmers is they're freaking because they can't get some supplies. And they're worried about being able to put crops in the ground because of perceived restrictions, you know, certain type of stuff. Oh, it's not essential. That business is shut down. Well, that business is a essential business, essential, has an essential product that needs to be delivered to that farmer so that essential farmer can put his crop in the ground. And there's real problems. And they're saying, these farmers are saying, the ground's ready. We can't start planting yet. And that should raise huge concerns. And they're, of course, calling the governor and trying to make them understand that, hey, this particular product I need, that you're not letting this company sell because you've shut it down, is going to delay crops going in the ground. And it's not just here in Michigan. It's other states, too. Tractor supplies, yes. Tractor supplies, which are often, guess what they have? They have a garden section, paint. It's all being lumped together. Lots of stuff that is in the gray area. People are afraid to do stuff because they're feeling if they fall outside the quote-unquote restriction, they're going to get, they're going to get a ticket or get arrested, or their store is going to get shut down. So why is a little common sense not being utilized here? And the politicians can't cover all scenarios. But if my sister is on the phone with a farmer and she's hearing this same concern again and again and again, and they're not getting any response, it makes you go, just a little bit. Because, tractors need oil, needs gas, lubricants. Not all come from the same place. They need additives. They need stuff to throw in with the seed. It just goes on and on and on. And I don't know the specific issue or spray. They need spray. They need fertilizer. On and on and on and on. All this stuff that the way they feed America, we're getting the stuff in the ground so that, come September, October, that the harvester's out there pulling the corn, the wheat, the soybeans off the fields. But if it doesn't get in there first because of narrow thinking of legislative people that are got near police state dictatorial controls at this point. But, I know most of you don't care. You're sitting at home. Maybe you're in the inner city maybe you're in a city. Maybe you're in the burbs. But it's interesting being in the country. Now, when I hear my kids and Shoko talking about different stuff that's happening in Hawaii, then that's its own whole different thing where they're, you can go to the beach as long as you immediately get in the water and go surf. You can surf and then come back and immediately get in your car. You can't sit on the beach. You sit on the beach by yourself with no one around you. $5,000 fine, 1 year in jail. Matter of fact, they're just taking people straight to jail. So you can't even go on an open beach. So it's things like that. Or the father that took his daughter to the park, which was allowed, playing catch, and police tried to arrest him. It's just people have lost their minds. So, now, if you're hanging out with a group of 20 having a party drinking beer, shame on you. You should be arrested. You should get a ticket. It's been a month. It's been a month, and people are getting pissy. They're getting very, very pissy. So, anyway, that's the beginning of the show. I think I lost half the audience. Facebook. All right. You don't want to hear it. It's okay. Love you guys, too. All right, so let's go ahead and move into the stack. Supreme Court is going virtual. This is a first. Supreme Court will start hearing cases by teleconference, and it's streaming itself live. This is a major change spurred by the novel coronavirus pandemic. For 6 days in May, the court will hear cases that were postponed last month, and including some related to the president's tax returns. We'll also stream live an audio feed, another first for the court. So if you want to listen in, if you're home, of course, California, you're locked down until like June or something. You'll be able to listen on May 4th, 5th, 6th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th. And if we're still locked down here, I'm definitely going to at least listen to one. It's kind of cool to be able to hear the Supreme Court, right, in order. Don't you think that'd be cool? I think it'd be awesome to hear. And so changing the time and the situations and getting back to business. So, A press release says audio will be provided to news media. Oh, but according to SCOTUS blog, it's actually being made public, not just streamed for accredited professionals or accredited press. So I guess you can already find recordings of oral arguments online. I didn't know that. So you learn something new every day. So Supreme Court back up in business hearing some arguments. Now, imagine you've lost your job. You lost your job from a restaurant. Now, that was supposed to be the bad part, right? You're supposed to be able to go file out for unemployment, get your unemployment check, plus the extra $600 a month, a week, for up to 13 weeks. So, you know, things are probably going to be better. But you find out that some other ignoramus has already applied for unemployment in another state using your name. The thief used personal information like the server's name, birth date, and social security number. She says, I've contacted Social Security Administration. They said there's nothing they can do. Says it doesn't list what state made the claim. The server rate, therefore, I'm unable to get unemployment for a claim someone else made on my job. The FTC has received more than 100 reports of identity theft linked to the coronavirus pandemic. Those, you know, that should be like, let's up the penalty for something like this. You know, you're taking money away from something. Someone's going to starve and you're trying to get this fixed during this pandemic. I just can't imagine. You feel bad for the 13, 14 million people unemployed, and then this happens. It's just like a kick in the teeth. Absolute kick in the teeth. And you know, it's someone's taking advantage. Someone's taking advantage of a data, you know, some sort of data theft and run that person, applied for unemployment benefits. It's insane. It really, really is. It's sad. So let's talk about hashtags. Don't ever retweet a hashtag by mistake. The president retweeted Fire Fossey. And people went crazy. He's not going to fire him. He's not. He's sometimes the president says some crazy things, but he would not fire him. You know, so I guess that's one of those things where read the tweet before you retweet. I think he read the first sentence and then just hit retweet. That's my thought. You know, I don't know if he can delete a retweet. Well, actually he can. I don't think he's allowed to delete a retweet. But people lost their minds today. I saw it all over Facebook and the news and people were flipping out. And I'm thinking to myself, it's just one of those things where, you know, you give some people something to complain about. It's not going to happen. Come on. It's not going to happen. Hey, a Raspberry Pi. Yes, the famous little Raspberry Pi is going to be used to power ventilators for COVID-19 patients. The Raspberry Pi Foundation is attempting to make 250,000 Pi Zeros this quarter. That's interesting. So, as the coronavirus overwhelms the healthcare industry, one of the clearest needs, of course, is the ventilators. I think they're getting ahead of that, but the more we have, the better. And to make more of those devices, manufacturers are turning to new designs that are faster and more affordable to make, and super affordable Raspberry Pi. Computer boards have become as a go-to component. Tom's Hardware reports the Raspberry Foundation is ramping up production of its Pi Zero boards. While the $5 Pi Zero is the company's least powerful computer. It features a single-core 1 gigahertz CPU and 512 megs of RAM, but it has enough juice to control the relative simple computing task of a ventilator. And one of the reasons they're able to get these out is they're saying, hey, we can produce these things like crazy. And we're going to try to make 250,000 of them. Now, the company made 192,000 Pi Zero and Pi Zero W boards in the first quarter of 2020, but it's aiming to produce 250,000 in the second quarter, and they've got huge orders for those. So congratulations on the fight here. You know, we talked about this privacy issue with Google and Apple getting together on doing this, using the ability of Bluetooth and a variety of other technologies to see if you came in contact with someone that has tested positive through the coronavirus. And Apple responded to Democratic senators and sent a letter to Chief Executive Officer Tim Cook with questions related to the privacy of the iPhone maker's COVID-19 screening tools. In a letter dated Friday, Apple said that tools were built to protect the privacy and security of user data. The company also answered questions related to data sharing agreements with government agencies. Now, let me read that again. They didn't deny. They said the company also answered questions related to data sharing agreements with the government agencies and accessibility of all tools. The letter refers to screening tools launched in March to help users determine if they should quarantine or seek medical help. Not Apple and Google's new... Oh, this was in relation to the... This is not in relation to the contract tracing. And Apple said, now again, the letter refers to screening tools launched in March that helps users determine if they should quarantine or seek medical help, not Apple and Google's new partnership for contact tracing. So questions will remain there. Apple said it drew upon its engineering clinical resources to help develop the new COVID-19 website, COVID-19 app, at the request of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and outlined the privacy protection and its agreements with the agency. Apple said the tools, which are available as an app and on the web, are not subject to HIPAA guidelines, and said it doesn't collect any personal data from individuals. It said data would never be sold to third parties, nor would it use information for commercial purposes. The only data it collects are related to how often the tool has been used, and if any online crashes occurred, Apple said, is also the tools are accessible to with those for disabilities. So we still really don't know what is going to be shared completely with the new partnership for contract tracing. So interesting. The Russia Soyuz rocket production is on hold due to coronavirus. So spaceflight, like every sector, is feeling the effects from spreading coronavirus pandemic, and that holds true for Russia. One of the rockets, a Soyuz 2.1A booster, most recently flew on April 9th. That launch was essentially unaffected by the pandemic. So this is interesting. The news of the pandemic's impact on its production comes from an English language transcript based on an April 10 by Russian government of a call held by President Vladimir Putin and a group of Space Center leaders. Now, listen to this veiled threat. During the call, Putin cautioned against using the pandemic as a scapegoat for issues within the industry. Quote, unquote. He says, clearly the fact that we have to fight the coronavirus is forcing us to make adjustments in our country, the economy in general, and Roscosmos specifically. Putin said at the end of the public portion of the call, at the same time, I'd like to warn you against the temptation to blame unresolved issues and loose ends, which are still in abundance on the coronavirus. So it's very, very interesting. But anyway, they've got some issues. SpaceX, hurry the heck up. We need to get you in the driver's seat and start lifting Americans to the International Space Station on our own American-made technology. So, a little space news. You can see the moon shine with Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars before the dawn this week. Here's how. So, if you look directly at the moon in pre-dawn hours, so Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, Saturn and Mars, right to left, will be above the moon. So this is pretty cool. So you can pick them out. They're very bright. It's, you know, stars are, you know, definitely prominent, but planets are much more prominent in the sky. If you've got a clear view with all this non-pollution, maybe even those in your city will be able to see this. All right, there's a vintage NASA Apollo 13 documentary. It takes you back to the iconic moon mission. The film emphasized mission control and spacecraft teamwork. So let me see here. 50 years after Apollo 13, a vintage documentary from the National Archives takes us back to one of the most iconic human space flight missions of all time. Remembered as a successful failure, the mission faced a number of life-threatening obstacles. Matter of fact, they had, was it Jim Lovell? Who's still alive in Apollo 13? One of the astronauts in Apollo 13 was interviewed the other day. I was fascinated by the interview, but I forget which astronaut it was. I apologize, but it was good. But anyway, awesome stuff. I think it was Jim Lovell. I assume that I'm almost 90% sure. Of course, I might be talking about a dead man. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was a cool interview on one of the news stations. But anyway, this documentary, where's it going to be available? So where is this? Is it actually on? Oh, it's on archive.org. So you can actually watch it on archive.org. Awesome. I think they've created a YouTube video of it as well. So a link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. 6 gigahertz Wi-Fi access could boost speeds and generate 183 billion by 2025, a study says. And this is what I'm completely blown away by. We all know this is coming. But the FCC's proposal seeks to expand unlicensed Wi-Fi to use much of the 6 gigahertz band. Doing so, now listen to this, would open up more than 1,200 megahertz of new bandwidth. That's massive. 1,200 megahertz of new bandwidth. From a total of 500 megahertz from the 5G band, with room for 7 new 160 megahertz channels, and no interference from previous gen devices at all, the 6G band could potentially serve as a multi-lane superhighway for the latest Wi-Fi devices, all of them using Wi-Fi 6. Now, 10 days ahead of the SEC vote, an industry-funded study concluded that the move has the potential to generate more than $180 billion in U.S. revenue over the next 5 years. The addition of $106 billion to the GDP by increased speeds and more deployment of IoT things. A producer surplus of $69 billion due to enterprise wireless traffic savings, and consumer surplus of $8 billion from increased broadband speeds. In other words, if we get faster, we get more productive, quote, unquote. So we'll see where this goes. But it's a massive amount of a frequency spectrum they've opened up there. So every once in a while, you see something from space that looks pretty cool. Well, they got a dragon. So if you combine an active imagination with an image from Mars, you may spot a shag carpet or a dragon. Hey, Jim, how you doing? So, yeah, that's pretty funny, right? So NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter took that picture, and it does kind of look like a dragon. But yes, we've seen all kinds of things in Mars, right? We've seen what looks like human heads. We've talked about all that stuff on the show before, right? Tesla's robo-taxi fleet will be functional ready in 2020, Musk said. The CEO also finally called out a use for the cabin-facing camera in the rear-view mirror. And it basically says it's going to use that to monitor robo-taxi passengers. And last year during its Autonomy Investor Day, Tesla laid out the broad strokes of its plan for a fleet of autonomous Teslas to operate as a robo-taxi service. See that being seen that the car manufacturer Z is not even close to full level 5 autonomy, what does that really mean? It still seems like a bit of wishful thinking, right? but nevertheless, problems of practical technology, logistics, and good sense aren't things that Elon Musk is really worrying about. But he said it could be ready by functional by 2020. And of course, what is level 5 autonomy? Well, you need to read up on that, because even then, I don't know if I would completely be trustworthy of a driverless vehicle. We're going to be there. We're going to get there. And I can't wait till we get there, but I don't want my head chopped off when the car refuses to slow down when a semi pulls through an intersection or something like that, right? Because Tesla owners are still getting killed because they're not watching the road when they're on autopilot. Verizon is launching a tool to help you troubleshoot tech issues remotely. You'll be able to send pictures or a video to a technician so they can help you out. So the company announced today this tool and should allow Verizon support customers without requiring field technicians to step in your side of your home. So what they're going to say is, okay, sir, please take a picture of the power plug your device is plugged into. Oh, yes, it is plugged in. Can you pull that out, take a picture, and send it to me? Okay. Oh, yep, you've got it unplugged. Now put the power plug back in the wall. You know, that's, I can just imagine that is how this is going to go. But if your internet's down or your phone isn't working, how do you send them a picture? You have to have another device that's connected a different way. The tool is intended to be used for service calls that need to be completed in your home, such as troubleshooting of your router. So what did I do recently when the router was broke at my house? No, why? My son FaceTimed me, and he's, you know, waving the camera. I said, slow the camera, moving around. I said, okay, see that box right there? He says, yes. Unplug it. And I said, now go into the other room. And I said, unplug that box. And he did. I said, okay, now you can go back. And oh, by the way, that's the modem and the router in that room. I want you to unplug the router. So, you know, this is all going from, you know, FaceTime. And I said, okay, now you can plug the original box back in. And he did. And I'm like, now you need to wait 5 minutes or until it's all blue. Those two lights are blue, and when it's all blue, you can plug the router back in, and then you have to wait another 5 minutes for that, and you can go back in the garage and plug the extender back in, and I said, hopefully, the internet will come back online. So I've been using that, that technology as well to help troubleshoot internet services back in Honolulu. All right, small satellite launcher Virgin Orbit conducts dress rehearsal ahead of its first test flight. On Sunday, small, again, they did an intricate dress rehearsal, how it plans to launch rockets into space without actually sending any rockets anywhere. And they used their 747 to get to its specific altitude, simulated a drop, and then basically did an escape maneuver, a maneuver away from the rocket. You know, the last thing you want to be is anywhere near anything that's going to light off and head towards space, especially if you're above it. Because you drop something, it's going to drop, and you're going to have to get away. I remember one time, many, many years ago, I was listening to the radio, and our call sign came over, and they said, break and give us a vector, and so you have 30 seconds. A buff is dropping through your altitude. A buff being a B-52 full of 500-pound JDAMs is going to be dropping bombs right through our altitude in our general area. Yeah, it was one of those that was, we reacted very quickly and moved off course, because you don't want to be on the receiving end of a 500-pound JDAM coming through your roof when you're at 35,000 feet. That's not a, that's probably, and makes for a very bad day. So anyway, cool little video they put up as well. AT&T is giving 3 months of free first, giving 3 months of first net service to nurses and physicians for free. The deal is meant out for those working against the coronavirus pandemic. So this is good. How do they get it? Nurses and physicians in the U.S. who are already on FirstNet Mobile will get 3 months credit automatically to a line of service for a smartphone or tablet. Beginning today, new subscribers will also be eligible for the credit. Nurses and physicians can also get a $200 activation credit for a FirstNet-ready smartphone on a FirstNet Mobile Responder plan. So if you are a nurse or a physician or probably even a first emergency service provider, and you're on FirstNet, and your company or you are paying for that bill, take advantage of this. Or if you know someone that is, let them know. A little bit of news out of Apple. Apple's new high-end iPhones will feature an iPhone 5-like design. They're saying the new phones could be delayed a little bit due to COVID-19. But citing people familiar with Apple's plans, Bloomberg's Mark Gurman writes, in addition to a successor to the 2019's iPhone 11 Pro and iPhone 11 Pro Max, Apple introduced not one, but two successors to the iPhone 11. I'm due for a phone upgrade later this year, so maybe I'll be able to get me one of these bad boys. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm going on 3 years. I don't know. Do I have a 10? Or I don't even remember what version of a phone I have. But every 2 to 3 years, we do upgrades. Typically when the battery starts going. Amazon plans virtual grocery waiting list to cope with a surging demand. So if you have the ability to get, one of my voice assistants just responded to me saying Amazon, not even saying anything about Alexa. But again, Amazon plans virtual grocery waiting list to cope with surging demand. You get your delivery window on a first-come, first-served basis. So Amazon hopefuls have been straining to keep up. And the internet retailer stressed that it was still trying to improve availability. It already increased capacity by 60%. So you folks are ordering and having stuff delivered at home. So I know that they've stopped taking on some new customers as well for this service. I'm not yet been able to shop for groceries online. That's just not, or have them delivered, nor that I probably would, but probably smart to do it that way, right? Instead of over ordering. Meg Whitman says Quibi, Quibi, has reached 1.7 million downloads in its first week online. So this is the new mobile streaming service. The mobile streaming service launched in the middle of the coronavirus. And they're going to increase and accelerate the roadmap on their videos in light of the crisis. So anyone used this at all? I guess you can get a 90-day free trial period. How much does it cost? I don't even know. Has anybody used this app? So love to hear whether or not you've gotten what you watch or what's been good on that. Over 500,000 Zoom accounts sold on Hacker Forum, the dark web. So if you've got a Zoom account, please go change your password. If you're not using one of those passwords that have something, you know, many of you use kind of the same password and change it up a little bit. If you've got one of those, it's time to change your Zoom password because they're selling those accounts on the dark web like crazy and someone could be using your account or jump into a meeting with you and you wouldn't even be able to control it. Or worse, cancel a meeting that you're in. FCC finally suggests Microsoft Surface Go sequel is almost here. This entry-level tablet appears in line for an update. So there's no telltale signs because it's been tested under a code name called EV2. But that was the same name used for the Surface Go and for early signs, a sequel. So this is a rumor. The base model would stick with a low-end Pentium Gold processor, but there would reportedly be a version with a Core M processor. You know, I used to track all these, as a disclosure, you know, I have an Intel stock, but I used to track all of this, all these processors. Can anyone even keep up? I'm sure I'm going to have to go like on a Wikipedia page or something like that to actually understand what processors do what, what's the high-end ones, what are, you know, because it used to be real simple back in the old days to be able to track, you know, 8088, 486, you know, and up through to a certain point. And now it's just like, you don't know what you're getting, where you're at in the stack. I guess a more expensive machine, the more high-powered processor you have, but I even the geek here needs a secret decoder ring for that, to be quite frank with you. Russia, I don't know why we had two things in the news today about Russia, but Russia's preparing a new law to ban all video recording in movie theaters. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, you go to any Asian country, you can get every main, if a movie's been out more than a couple of days, you can get the ripped version from someone holding a video camera in a movie theater. And then it's you know, you sometimes you see the video moving a little bit. Also, people are ripping stuff from physical disc and VOD sources. But, yeah, new videos are very much in demand. Good luck with Russia on combating that. On a real encouraging note, there's a new device that helps blind veterans see. It's called eSight. It creates high-tech eyewear devices that use a screen, a logarithm, and smart cameras to improve vision. So this company that makes a high-tech medical device to help visually impaired see is working with the blind and low-vision veterans to help them regain independence. About 130,000 U.S. veterans are legally blind, and more than 1 million veterans live with low vision. That causes a loss of ability and independence in performing necessary daily activities, according to Blind Rehabilitation Service of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. In October, the vision platform organization eSight announced approval of the eSight 3, the third generation of the company's sight-enhancing glasses for those living with visual impairments on the VA federal supply schedule, giving sight-impaired veterans access to a high-tech medical device that could help them see and regain independence. So I'm not going to go into the whole story. I did read this already. So this device normally retails for about $6,000, which is a steep investment for veterans and other low vision individuals. And but maybe with the VA federal supply schedule, this negotiated a firm fixed price based on commercial's most favored customer pricing. So get it a little bit cheaper. And maybe there'll be some sort of insurance or copay, or maybe the VA will just pay for these for some of our veterans. We'll see. But anyway, very exciting stuff. And, you know, for those of you that listen to this show that are vision impaired, what have been some of the big things that have happened technology-wise that's helping you? I haven't heard from some of you in some time. I'd love to hear from you. Just drop me an email. And fire up JAWS and drop me an email and say, you know, what, where the improvements have happened for those of you that are vision impaired. What's has technology done for you lately? Link me to some cool stuff. I'd appreciate it. And some of you are contributors to the show as well. I definitely appreciate that. Those of you that are insiders, we have a number of you that are vision impaired that contribute to the show. You know, if the vision impaired folks would contribute to the show as an insider, you guys should too. So geeknewscentral.com/insider. PayPal, Intuit, QuickBooks approved to hand out emergency funds to small businesses in the coronavirus program. It's been more than a week. I know people that have their applications in for the PPP. They still haven't heard anything about their loans or gotten any money yet. So one thing's for sure, that $350 billion is going to be gone. It's going to be gone before some of these banks are able to get the money out. So PayPal, Intuit, QuickBooks, well, maybe they'll help to get the cash out. I don't know, but it's nice to see that they're going to be allowed to participate in this. And again, get the big burly banks out of the way and let someone that is, you know, you think about PayPal, Intuit, they are, you know, they're a tech company, so they work with a lot of cash. So let's see how they do. Apple's next iPhone may look like a smartphone-sized iPad. And it's also developing a cheaper HomePod speaker, according to Bloomberg. So I have that link up in the show notes. Lots of rumors going on. And of course, I did say this earlier in the show, but Amazon stops accepting new online grocery customers amid surging demand. They just can't keep up with it. For those of you in those locations have are close to a Whole Foods. And also, Motorola is going to reveal its first high-end phone in years on April 22nd. So it took a long time for Motorola, but the Lenovo brand has announced a virtual flagship launch event taking place on April 22nd at 12 p.m. So very, very cool. All right, let's see if we had any comments come in. So I did get an email from Keith that asked me about info about the cell phone webcam solution. I did send that over to him and a few others. So if you are still looking for that cell phone webcam solution, if you don't have a webcam for your computer, let me know. Definitely appreciate it if you would. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for checking in as well. Let's see here. What else do I have? I think that's going to about wrap me up for the day. Got through the show pretty quick. I do have the Skype machine fired up if any of you want to come in for a few minutes. I'm not going to hang out too late. I was a little late getting the show started today. So I don't want to be here to midnight tonight. It takes me about 30 to 40 minutes to get the show uploaded and published after I cut the show loose. So I'm not going to hang out too long. But for those of you who have been listening, thanks for being here. Hey, I think this has been about the longest stretch we've had in a while where I've just been boom, 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 and not on travel someplace. But overall, I hope you all did well over the weekend. I hope those of you that are still able to work from home are doing so okay. But I did read I saw something across my desk today that said 35% of you that are working from home are suffering a little bit mentally. And I understand that it takes a lot of dedication to stay productive and work from home. And I've done this for years. So I'm just going to tell you what you got to do is get up, get your shower, get dressed, have your normal routine, like as if you're going to get in your car, then try do your best to go to a separate room in your house, not your bedroom, a separate room in your house to be able to work. Close the door if you can, if that's possible. Separate yourself from other people. Do your business. Take your breaks on time. Tell your significant other, if she's got a honey-do list, it has to wait until you're done with work. Take lunch at the normal time. Maybe go walk around the house 15 times, whatever it is, and then come back and do your normal schedule. Try to stick to a work schedule at home, and you'll find yourself to be very productive. Today, I was busy doing stuff. I had a couple of meetings, and next thing I know, it's 5:30. I'm like, where did the day go? I didn't get my walk in. So after it got done, I did do a short walk to get some walk in after work versus midday. Cold here. It feels like it's going to snow again. I don't know what's up with that, but you know, that's the only way you can fully stay productive. And here's what I've told my team, because this is new for many of them, and I think I told you this on a previous show, if you kind of get to the point where you can't concentrate, you've had it, go ahead and put a movie on for an hour and a half. You know, watch something. But, you know, after that, get up and go back to work. Give your boss the extra time at the end of the day, and I think you'll do better. That's why this show, it's why I've opened up the call-in line at the end of the show, so that anyone that just wants to come in and chat about anything can do so, because we all are kind of stuck in our houses and pinging off the walls. I hope you've been enjoying the shows. I know the listenership is up. I've been watching the numbers. Thank you for your ongoing support. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to call. Place to email me on your comments. Are you sick of me talking about stuff at the beginning of the show? Do you want me to change it up? Is it a buzzkill? Please give me your feedback. And of course, if you consider becoming an insider, this is a great time to do that. If you can afford to do so, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Your contributions of $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month are greatly appreciated. Get started for 6.7 cents a day and become an insider here and help support the show that way. And again, for everyone that's been on live watching, thanks very much. Those of you that have something to say, fire up Skype. GNC Pod 2 is the call-in line For everyone else that's been listening, thank you for being here. Unless there's something crazy conversation that goes on, I'll sign off. But everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.